instead of being from 12 o'clock to 1 o'clock, is going to be a quarter to 1. We enable the students to eat lunch from a quarter to 1 till 1:30, benachas, and then to daven mincha at 1:30. But on Monday, the shiur will be from 12 to 1, since mincha is 2:30. Okay, the rest of the week, only ben ha-semestrim, the shiur on Sunday will be a quarter to 12 till a quarter to 1, and Monday through Thursday, the shiur will be 12 to 1. Good. Kriyas ha-Torah is a mitzvah min ha-Torah on rare occasions. Once every 7 years is a mitzvah of hakel, where there's kriyas ha-Torah b'tzibur in the Beis HaMikdosh. That's a mitzvah min ha-Torah. And on Yom HaKippurim, the Gemara in the first parak in Yuma learns out from Sukkim that the Kohen Gadol, in conjunction with Hakrovas Avodas Hayom, together with the Hakrovas special, Hakrovas HaKarbonis, for the purpose of Kapora, has to lay in Kriyas HaTorah about the Seder HaAvoda. We have, the Chachamim introduced it with the Rabbanah, we lay in Achri Mois on Yom Kippur, the Kriyas HaTorah, but the Kohen Gadol's laying in the Beis HaMikdash is a Dimin HaTorah. So these two are deraisa. So there's a Mishnah in Soita and Perek Elah Nemorim. The Mishnah discusses which mitzvahs of Kriya can be fulfilled in translation and which mitzvahs have to be fulfilled only in the original Hebrew. So it says when the Melech links Kriyas HaTorah once every 7 years on Chol HaMoed Sukkos and Hakel, Chol HaMoed Sukkos following Shnas HaShmitah, and when the Kohen Gadol links Kriyas HaTorah every year on Yom Kippur, that's a Kriya deraisa. So the Bichas HaTorah has to be in the original Hebrew. And all year long, when a person gets an aliyah, so he can either recite the Bichas HaTorah in the original Hebrew or in translation. The Mishnah has like that. Called the Tikkun Rabban, and came there, I said Tikkun. The Chachamim introduced the Takana of Kriyas HaTorah, patterned after the Din there, I said, on the level of the Reis, so there is a Din of Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara says that Kriyas HaTorah, every couple of days, every 2-3 days, is Takonis Moshe Rabbeinu. The Rambam calls it Moshe Ubeis Dinoi, that you should Shaloyechu Shloshes Yamim Belo Torah. The Chumash says that they were going, they had no water, so the Gemara says they Mayim Ala Torah, that they shouldn't spend 3 days without having Kriyas HaTorah B'tzibur. So Moshe Rabbeinu made a Takonis to learn Kriyas HaTorah on Monday, Thursday, and on Shabbos. The 3 days shouldn't go by without Kriyas HaTorah. What happens, let's say, if on Monday there was a snowstorm and nobody showed up in shul, so they just laying on Shabbos, so if you're laying on Tuesday, you'll also solve the problem. You will have not gone 3 days without learning Torah. So should you say, so laying on Tuesday? Or do you say, no, the Takanas Moshe Rabbeinu was Monday, Thursday, and Shabbos, and if you're laying on Tuesday, it'll be a Bracha Levatol. If you're laying on a day when there's no Takanas Kriyas HaTorah, and everybody already said Bichas HaTorah in the morning before they started the daven, so then if you say another bracha on the Kriyas HaTorah, it'll be a bracha levat tola. If you're laying on a day when there's a takanas chachamim, so then you say Brichas HaTorah. There's a tshuva in the Meshiv Dover. There was a hachnosa sefer Torah in Chicago, and the people were so thrilled. They were singing and dancing and marching in the street and playing music. And when they came to the Beis HaKnesses, they decided to auction off the aliyas, and they're going to learn Kriyas HaTorah. So they learned Kriyas HaTorah, and there was a whole machlokes whether it was a bracha levat tola or not. So apparently there was nobody in America to ask the shaila to, so they sent the shaila to the Netziv. So he writes in his truas in the Meshev Dovah to the community in Chicago, he thinks that it was a bracha levat tola, it was on Sunday. And he says, Sunday there's no takonas chachamim, so whoever said Brichas HaTorah in the morning said another bracha, that's a bracha levat tola. So generally, this is a machlokes. If you missed on Monday, can you lane on Tuesday? The generally accepted opinion is that you don't lane on Tuesday. Even though by laning on Tuesday, you'll solve the problem. You will not be going 3 days without learning Torah. That's all we assume. What if you didn't lane, let's say, Monday morning or Thursday morning, you're supposed to lane in the middle of Shacharis. You're supposed to lane after Chazaras HaShatz, before you say Kaddish Tiskadol. That's in the middle of Tefillah B'Tzibur of Shacharis. What if you didn't lane in the middle of Shachas, can you lane in the afternoon? So that's also a machloikas. And Rav Soloveitchik said the Rav Chaim felt like that you can lane in the afternoon. And every so often, Rav Chaim had to travel by train to attend the conference of Rabbanim, and he would miss Kriyas HaTorah Monday or Thursday morning. So he would put together, he would always succeed in finding a few balabatim who hadn't yet heard Kriyas HaTorah, and he would always put together a minyan, and he would lane in the afternoon. Rav Soloveitchik would do it every so often. He used to come in on Tuesday morning from Boston and give his shiur Tuesday, Wednesday, and then he went back. So sometimes he had to come on Monday. So he had a daven b'yichida sometimes because he had to take an early train or an early plane. The lady is, he took a plane. So every so often after shiur, he would ask, are there any students who missed Kriyas HaTorah this morning? So surprisingly, there would always be enough people to learn Kriyas HaTorah. So he used to learn Kriyas HaTorah in the afternoon.
Is that quite a sayyachid, in other words?
No, that's another question. Rav Soloveitchik said he had two grandfathers. Rav Chaim held that Kriyas HaTorah is a Chovas HaYochid. The other grandfather used to make fun of Rav Chaim that it's not a Chovas HaYochid. And he quoted the Ramban and the Melchamas HaMegillah, which the Mishnah Berurah quotes here in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah. The Ramban writes explicitly that Kriyas HaTorah is not a Chovas HaTzibur. It's not a Chovas HaYochid. It's only Chovas HaTzibur. If there was no, if a person daven yichidus, he's not mechuyev to put together a minyan. If you put together a minyan, okay. So learn Kriyas HaTorah, but you're not mechuyev to.
Why can't you just learn without a bracha?
You can learn without a bracha. Some poskim hold that Brichas HaTorah deraisa, the Gemara learns that from a posik. Brichas HaTorah deraisa, and of chof and menala. So some poskim hold that Brichas HaTorah deraisa is only when you learn b'tzibur. When a person learns privately, there's no din brichas haTorah. So if you're going to lay in Kriyas HaTorah without saying a bracha, then you'll be mevatel mitzvah. That's why the Torah's refoil. Torah's refoil is by Rabbi Refoil Valojina, the son-in-law of the Netziv, the father-in-law of Rabbi Chaim Soloveitchik, Rabbi Refoil Shapiro. So the Torah's refoil was a misnagid. He was from Valojina Yeshiva. So he was opposed to the Hasidish and Minig that they take out of Sefer Torah the first 12 days in the Chodesh Nissan and they lain the Parsha of the Nasi of the day or they lain from the Sefer Torah on Leil Hoshana Rabbah, they lain from the Sefer Torah, but they don't see any bracha. So he said, according to some poskim, Yom Avat LeMitzvah Men HaTorah, the Brichas HaTorah Derais is only when you lain Kriyas HaTorah B'Tzibo. Okay. So he recommends he should always avoid laying in Kriyas HaTorah without a bracha.
Why was the tikkun done only three days? Have to be 3 days that go by. Is there any time given?
I don't know.
Why is that 3 days?
Don't know.
Would all 10 of the people not have heard Kriyas HaTorah, or is it
tzibur
if you have...
We assume if you have six who didn't hear Kriyas HaTorah, then you can lay. On a tiny tzibur, that's a question. If you have six who are fasting and four who are not fasting, so Kriyas HaTorah on a tiny tzibur to mincha is only a chelik of the tonis. So if the people are not fasting, so maybe they can't even be mitztaref as the four. If you have a Kriyas HaTorah on a normal day, so four already heard Kriyas HaTorah, so they'll hear again, so they have a kiyum. So they can be mitzvah. If you have six who are mechuyev and four who are ready with yotzei, so the second Kriyas HaTorah will be mitzvah to them. So you have a roif tzibah who's mechuyev and a mashlam de tzibah. On the tainus, that's a question. So it's usually assumed that if you have six misanim and four who ate, you can learn Kriyas HaTorah. So others object to it and they say, what's a tzushtel? And a tanis, whoever is not eating, so there's no kiyum at all. So the whole Kriyas HaTorah doesn't relate to them. But lemaisa, that's the practice. On a tanis sibah, if you have six misanim, so we do lay. When you bench mezuman, b'shem, so the Gemara says, not enough. If you have six people who ate bread, and four who had vegetables, you have to have seven. You have avruba de minkara. So that's famous that they say in the name of Rabbi Saul Salanta, how come on a tanis sibah it's enough with six people? When it comes to bench mezuman, you need seven people. The Rabban Shalom would rather have an ex-Jew eat than have an extra Jew fast. That's famous from Rabbi Saul Salanta, I think. So on a regular Monday or Thursday, if you didn't lay in the morning, so many poskim hold, that's a common practice that you can lay when people go touring a lot of times. You go on a hike, so you get back late in the afternoon, you didn't have a safe Torah when you were climbing the mountains or whatever. So for whatever reason, you can lay in the afternoon. On Shabbos, that's a question. Let's say on Shabbos, for some reason or another, the people did not gather together in the morning to lay in Kriyas HaTorah, or they did, they didn't have a Sefer Torah, whatever, can you lay in Kriyas HaTorah of Shabbos morning in the afternoon? Because the afternoon, there's a separate takonis Kriyas HaTorah. So maybe that's different. So that's what that there is a Kainim in his commentary on the side of the Shulchan Aruch says. Maybe Sheni V'Chamishi, yes, you can lay in the afternoon. But Shabbos, you cannot lay in the afternoon. That's a Seder. You can only lay next week's Seder. You can't lay today's Seder. Today's Seder is only a takana in the morning when it's still Zman Shachris. There is a Ramban ala Torah with a Ramban. The Bach writes a Svara that Kriyas HaTorah, Shabbos, and Yontav is deraisa. What's that? Kriyas HaTorah.
Huh?
Oh, that's based on the Ramban, on Mikra Kodesh. The Ramban thinks that the word Mikra Kodesh comes from the word Kruei Hoedo. Kruei Hoedo means those who gather together to represent the Tzibur. And Mikra Kodesh means a day of holy assemblage, that the Klal Yisrael should gather together for holy purposes, namely for Trila B'Tzibur and for a Talmud Torah B'Tzibur. So that's where the Ritvu and Megillah has such an idea that Kriyas HaTorah and Shabbos and Yontav is deraisa, and the Bach writes like that. Not necessarily Kriyas HaTorah means that the rabbi should give a drashas hachacham. There should be Talmud Torah barabim and there should be tefillah b'tzibur. That's what the Prima Godim points out, that it's a little bit paradox that the Ramban holds that tefillah b'chol yom is only the Rabbanon, but tefillah b'tzibur is deraisa on Shabbos and Yontav. Okay. Tefillah b'tzibur is deraisa on Shabbos and Yontav based on Mikra Kodesh. The Prima Godim has a big chiddush. He says there is a Gemara in Nida and Perik Bar Simon, where the Gemara says we usually assume that when a boy reaches the age of 13 or a girl reaches the age of 12, so we assume they probably have Shtei Saris. There's a miut chance that they don't have yet have Shtei Saris. So in order to become a Bar Mitzvah, Bas Mitzvah, you have to have Shonim Vissimonim, you have to have the Shtei Saris. So many poskim read the Gemara that with respect to Dinam de Rabbanim, we rely on this Chazoka de Rove, Rove's Chazoka, Ruba de Leisa Kamon, Kol Shehigia Lechlal Shonim, Higia Lechlal Simonim, whoever is 13 years old probably has the Shtei Cyrus. With respect to Dinam de Raisa, that the boy who was just bar mitzvah a month ago, he should sign on a get, he should write a Sefer Torah, he should do Ibud HaKlaf for the kosher of Sefer Torah. That's a Din de Raisa that you need Lushmo, and a cotton can't create Lushmo. So for Dinam de Raisa, you should not rely on Chazoka de Rove, you should check to make sure that he has a Shtei Cyrus. So the Prima Godim has this Chumrah, a fascinating Chiddush. The practice used to be on Leil Shavuos, everybody started off the evening to learn together, and as the night proceeded, 11 o'clock some of the people went to sleep, 12 o'clock more people went to sleep, 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the morning, they had most of the minyan was young boys who were just bar mitzvah, and they had a few older people. So he says that's a shaila, because tefillah b'tzibur is deraisa on yontif. And with respect to Dinam Deraisa, you don't rely on Chazoka. The Rav she has to go check for the Shtei Cyrus. They dav Meirev Tefillah B'Tzibur, you had 150 people in Shul, you had grandparents, you had parents, you have there for sure with Bar Mitzvah. And Mincha they're going to daven later on in Shul Tefillah B'Tzibur. So every single Tefillah on Yontav has to be Tefillah B'Tzibur Men HaTorah. It's a Psachidish, what the Prima Godim says. That it's a Choyva, that every Tefillah you have should be a Tefillah B'Tzibur. The Chiddush of the Prima Godim, an extension of this Ramban ala Torah, that Tefillah B'Tzibur is deraisa on Shabbos and Yontem, and Talmud Torah B'Tzibur, Talmud Torah B'Rabim. The Gemara says that the number of aliyahs corresponds to how important the day is. The minimum number of aliyahs is 3. The Gemara quotes a Tana Rabbi Yossi, who is of the opinion that on a Tainis Tzibur, if the Tainis Tzibur is not on Monday or Thursday, so all you lane is one aliyah to enable you to lane the Haftarah. The main Kriyas HaTorah on the Tainis Tzibur is really the Haftarah, because the Nevi'im give Tochacha. So the main purpose of laning Kriyas HaTorah is to enable us to lane Haftarah. The Gemara says you can't lane Haftarah. Hamafta b'Novi tzorach sheikar b'Torah t'chil. You can't just lane Novi. To be able to, we're going to give the Hashivas to Novi as if it's as important as a Sefer Torah. So that's not. So the one who gets maftir, whenever you want to give somebody maftir, so you have to make sure that he lanes a little bit from a Sefer Torah first, and then he says the nevuah. So since the main kriya on a Tanis Tzibur is the Haftorah, and the kriya satorah is just to enable you to say the Haftorah, so Rabbi Yossi is of the opinion that if it's not Sheni v'Chamisha, you only give one aliyah. So we don't accept his opinion. We never heard of such a thing, a kriya satorah, one aliyah. So we say the minimum number of aliyahs in Takonis, on Yom Kippur, the Kangorel got one aliyah. That's it. And on Hakel, the Melech gets the one aliyah. He says the bracha. That's all. But when you talk about Kriyas HaTorah, the Rabbanon, Takonish Moshe Rabbeinu, so then the minimum number of aliyahs is 3. And then the Gemara says it becomes 4, 5, 6, 7, depending on how important the day is. If it's Chalamoid or Rosh Chodesh, The day has a Kedushas Hayom, it's a little more important than a normal day. Chanukah and Purim is only Midrabbanan, so it has no Kedushas Hayom. Chol HaMoed Rosh Chodesh, you give 4 aliyahs. Yom Tov, you give 5 aliyahs. And then Yom Kippur and Shabbos are more important, so you give 6 and 7. And that's a Machlokes HaTanaim, Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel, which is higher. So Rabbi Akiva is of the opinion that Shabbos gets 6 aliyahs and Yom Kippur is on top of the list. Yom Kippur gets 7 aliyahs. We don't follow Rabbi Akiva. We follow Rabbi Shmuel that Shabbos gets 7 aliyahs. Shabbos is on top of the list and Yom Kippur gets 6 aliyahs. The Achrenim in the back of the Gemara, some of the Achrenim point out that this Machlokes Rabbi Akiva and Rabbi Shmuel about how many aliyahs, that's a Maseches Megillah, appears on a Braisa in Maseches Megillah, appears in a Mishnah in Shabbos Kufyu Gimel Amud Aleph also. There is a din, you're not allowed to do a hachana on Shabbos or Yom Tov for chol. They said there's going to be a malava malka, so you're not allowed to set up the table. Even though there's no malacha at all, no malacha involved at all, you're not allowed to set the table, you're not allowed to take out the boy has a date, on Mitzoy Shabbos wants to take out the suit that he's going to wear. So you're not allowed to do any hachanas on Shabbos for the weekday. That's a din derabbanan. In our Torah, there is no such prohibition, it's midirabbanan. So the Mishnah says, what if you have Yontif next to Shabbos? So since Shabbos has a higher level of Kedusha than Yontif, so you are permitted to do a Hachone on Yontif for Shabbos. You're even allowed to cook on Yontif for Shabbos. The whole need for Erev Tavshilin is only with the Rabbanah. When not there, you're permitted to cook. So the Gemara has a whole discussion of that. The Maseches Pesachim, why is it mutam in Atar to cook on Yontif for Shabbos? But to do a Hachone, that's not a Malacha, that for sure is mutam. So the Mishnah has a Machlek Zeriki Rabbi Shmuel. What about to prepare on Yom Kippur for Shabbos? Is that permissible or not? So one Tana said it is permissible because he holds that Shabbos has a higher level than Yom Kippur. And the other Tana says, no, even though the other Tana holds, it's Rabbi Kiv, Rabbi Shmuel, even the other Tana holds that Yom Kippur should be higher. So you should say you're allowed to prepare on Shabbos for Yom Kippur. So he doesn't say like that. You shouldn't prepare either. Either this direction or that direction. So I want to point out that it seems to be Machlokes HaTanaim. Which day has more significance? The non-learned Jews think that the holiest day of the year is Yom Kippur, and the holiest man is the Kohen Gadol, and the holiest place in the world is the Kodesh HaKadoshim. Holiest man in the world goes into the Holy of Holies on Yom Kippur, the holiest day in the world. We usually assume the Shabbos is holier. Every Shabbos, Parshas Va'era, is holier than Yom Kippur. We don't assume like that. The Mishnah says that you're not allowed to make Hoysofis on Sheni v'Chamishi, because people have to go to work. There's Bitl Melocha, and Chol HaMoed Rosh Chodesh also, there's Bitl Melocha. So people have to go to work, so truly give 4 aliyahs, but we're not allowed to make Hoysofis, and we only allow Hoysofis when there's no Bitl Melocha. So Yontif, there's no Bitl Melocha, would we say it's permissible to make Hoysofis? So that's a Machlokes HaRishonim. So Ruba, the Rova, the Poskim hold, it is Mutter to make Hoysofis on Yontif. 5 is the minimum number of aliyahs. You want to give 20 aliyahs on Yom Tov, that's fine. In Shulchan Aruch, we follow that opinion in the Rishonim that we only permit Hoysofis on Shabbos. If you make a Hoysofis on Yom Tov, instead of giving 5 aliyahs, you give 6, you're giving Yom Tov the Chashivas as if it's Yom Kippur. So you're pagan the covet of Yom Kippur, the covet of Shabbos. You give Yom Kippur 7 aliyahs instead of 6, so you're pagan the covet of Shabbos. Shabbos is on top of the list. So you can make all the Hoysofis you want. There's no issue of bitl melocha, no one's going to work. And there's no issue that you're giving Shabbos the Hashivas that it doesn't deserve. Shabbos is on top of the list. So that's usually the opinion that we follow, that we don't allow any Hoysofis on Yontif or on Yom Kippur. What about Yontif Shecholias b'Shabbos? What about Yom Kippur, Shecholi is b'Shabbos? And then it's Shabbos, you are making 7 aliyahs, so you should be allowed to make Hoysofis. So Yom Kippur, Shecholi is b'Shabbos, the Magen Avraham quotes, that we don't make Hoysofis because the way the Kriyas, the Minig developed, the way the Kriyas HaTorah is set up, every aliyah ends off with a theme of Mechila and Kapara and Tahara. So if you're going to make Hoysofis, it's not going to end off with such a conclusion. So we have a special minig, why we don't make Hoysofis on Yom Kippur Shecholias b'Shabbos. What about Yom Tov Shecholias b'Shabbos? How come we don't make Hoysofis? And then there's one Yom Tov when we do make Hoysofis. On Simchas Torah, make many aliyahs on Simchas Torah. So the minig has it, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out, the minig has it, that on Simchas Torah we don't lay a Yom Tikkir Kriya. We lay the Parshas HaShavua. We lay the Zaisa Bracha. So the meaning has it, when you lay a Shabbos Tikkir Kriya, then we allow Haisofas. When you lay a Yom Tikkir Kriya, even on Shabbos and giving seven Aliyahs, when you lay a Shabbos Tikkir Kriya, then we allow Haisofas even though it's Yantif. And when we lay a Yantif Digger Kriya, even on Shabbos, we don't allow Haisofas. So the meaning is we don't allow Haisofas when it's Yantif Shecholi is Bishamas. Absalvechik said he remembered on one occasion that his uncle Rav Velvela came into shul a little late, Mincha, on Shabbos afternoon. And they had already started Kriyas HaTorah. The Kohen Rei said, Baruch HaShem Amvoyroch. The Kohen was about to say, Asher Bocha Banu. Rav Elbala gave a krechts and he said, oh, I missed Kriyas HaTorah. And he left and he says, he's going to go to another shul. So he dedicated, Rav Soloveitchik used to have Yortzeit on Gimel Shvat. It's coming up next week. He used to give a Yortzeit shir, a big event of the year. Many people used to fly in from out of town, especially to hear the Yortzeit Roshim. So on one occasion, he gave a whole Yotzai Drasha to try to explain why that should be so. Why should you assume that the reciting at Baruch HaShem Amvarach is Likuva? That whoever didn't hear that first line is not Yotzai the Kriyas HaTorah. Okay. So that was a topic for discussion. In the days of the Tanoim, the Mishnah says that every Oyla LaTorah didn't say a Bracha. The first, when the Kohen got the first Aliyah, said Asher Bocha Banu, and the one who got the last Aliyah said Asher Nasan Lanu. And then in the days of Rav Shmuel, the Gemara says in Bavel, they developed a minhag that every Ola LaTorah says the bracha before and after. So this is a question that runs as follows. The Mishnah has a din. You need a minyan for Kriyas HaTorah. Im hischilu ba'asara, let's say you started Kriyas HaTorah. There's some shuls on Monday or Thursday morning, people have to run to work. So they start Kriyas HaTorah, the minyan is still there. And then someone had to run out in the middle. So when he runs out in the middle of Kriyas HaTorah, when you get to the Levi or get to Shlishi, you don't have a minyan. So do you have to stop where you are, or do you continue? So the Mishnah says, in Mischilu, Eim Afsik, in Mischilu Gaimrim. If you started with a minyan, you can finish. So the Kesef Mishnah has a suffix. Maybe that din, in Mischilu, if you started with a minyan, you finish. Maybe that din only applied Bizman HaTanoim. When we treated the whole Kriyas HaTorah as one unit, Baharaya, that only the Kohen said the Bracha before Asher Bocha Banu, and the Acharon, the one who got the last Aliyah, said the Bracha Shenasan Lanu. But Bizman said that Rabbi Shmuel introduced the Takana, each Ola HaTorah says the Bracha before and after, so maybe you treat each Aliyah as a separate unit, so you can only finish that Aliyah. And once you finish that Aliyah, the Kohen finished the Aliyah, and then he turns around, he sees there are only nine people in the Shul, no longer a minion. So maybe he's allowed to say Asher Nasan Lanu, and that's the end of the Kriyas HaTorah. So the Kes Mishnah is Mesupik about this. The Mishkan is Yankiv picks up, he has a tshuva, he picks up on the theme, he says that he thinks that is correct. Others don't agree with this idea. Others hold that that was always the din, that every Ola LaTorah should really say a bracha before and after. But in the days of the Tanoim, everybody was in shul in the beginning of Kriyas HaTorah, so everybody had in mind, they all paid attention. When the Kohen said the bracha shenasan lanu, everyone had in mind, Asher Bocha Banu, everybody had in mind, in case I get an aliyah, I'm yotze with that bracha. And then everybody stayed in shul till the last one got the last aliyah. And when the last one said Asher Nasan Lanu, everybody had in mind to be yotze with that. In the days of Rabbi Shmuel, mipnei hanichnosim, mipnei hayotze, because it was like a train station, people were coming in late and leaving early, going in, going out. So you can't assume, you have no right to assume that everybody heard the bracha before and everybody's going to hear the bracha after. So that's why they had everybody, that's why they introduced everybody should say some bracha. But that was always the din, the Ikar din. Everybody had to say the bracha before and after. It's just that they were always Yotze with Shemei HaKohen and they always had a mind. If you say like that, that was always the din, so nothing really changed. The Ikar din, nothing changed. It's not that the whole nature of Kriyas HaTorah is different. But that's what the Mishkan Es Yankif says based on this Kesef Mishnah on the side of the Rambam. He thinks that maybe it was a fundamental change, that in the days of Rav Shmuel, when they introduced that each Ola LaTorah says a bracha before and after, that's how the Gemara says in Megillah, so maybe it's a fundamental change in the nature of the Kriyas HaTorah. So Soloveitchik told the story that once, it says in Hilchas Rosh Hashanah, that the Baal Tefillah has to have in mind to be Motzi all of the Tzibur. And if the Baal Tefillah has a Seinei, he doesn't like one of the balabatim in the shul, it's considered as if he has kavana shelo lehotziyo. And he's not moitzi anybody, because the Baal Tefillah has to be the shliach hatzibur of the whole tzibur. And if he dislikes one of the people, and he probably has kavanah shelo l'hatzio, so he can't be moitzed the tzibur. So on one occasion, Rav Moshe Soloveitchik was asked a shaila, the Bal Koyrei disliked in a big way one of the mispalalim in the shul. So that Balabas asked Rav Moshe Soloveitchik, does he have to go hear Kriyas HaTorah in a different shul? Because the Bal Koyrei hates him so much, he probably has in mind shelo l'hatzio. So he said, Rav Soloveitchik said that his father said he doesn't think that Kriyas HaTorah is based on Shemaya Ka'ina. Let's say Kiddush and Havdalah. Really, everyone is muhiv to say Kiddush and Havdalah. But why should you duplicate it? So one person says Kiddush and the whole family is yot. If everybody would say Kiddush, it would be fine. What are you going to say Kriyas HaTorah? Really, every person should lay in his own Kriyas HaTorah? No. Every person laying his own Kriyas HaTorah, you're not yot. You have to have Kriyas HaTorah but Tzibur. That's not based on Shemaya Ka'ina. That the person who lanes is mighty. Everybody's there if everybody had lanes. If everybody would lane on their own, in their own corner, they wouldn't be yotze. It's dafke takana kriyas hatar. So the nature of the takana was there should be Talmud Torah but Tzibur. So Rav Soloveitchik gave this mashal, and it was a true mashal. He used to have the boy who sat right in front of him, it's not like me. The boy sits in front, understands the whole shiur, can tell you word for word what I said in the shiur. But by Rav Soloveitchik, the guy sat in the front. His father learned by Rav Soloveitchik also. So Rav Soloveitchik liked him very much, but he didn't understand the shiur at all. And the guy in the back was Shmuel Boylan, he's a dean in Turano. He understood the shiur inside out. He used to get under Rav Soloveitchik's skin. He used to always grate on his nerves. He used to ask him, but the Tosfei HaRosh says, not so, and the Miri says, not so. He always used to argue with him in the shiur. So Rav Soloveitchik said, let's say I give a shiur. I like the boy in the front row and I have a mind to be mitzi him, but he doesn't understand the shiur. The guy in the back, I can't stand and I have a mind not to be mitzi him. So who's yotze? The guy in there, whoever understands the shiur is yotze Talmud Torah. The guy in the front, I love him as much as I like, doesn't understand the shiur is not yotze Talmud Torah. So he said, that's what his father said. Kriyas HaTorah is not based on Shemaya Ka'ina. It's not that I have a mind to be mitzi them. Whoever pays attention is yotze. If whoever pays attention and is learning, if he understands it, avadigot. If he doesn't understand, it's a lower level. When you learn Torah Shebichsav and you don't understand this, at least the text is a text of Kodesh. Torah Shebal Peh, if you don't understand, there's no mitzvah at all. The whole Iker mitzvah is only if you understand it. Magen Avraham quotes like that. If you say Mishnayis, Hazel Mekam, you don't understand it, there's no mitzvah at all. But if you say Psukim from Tehillim, say Psukim to Zimra, Psukim from Tanakh, the text is the text, so that's Talmud Torah, even if you don't understand. So he said that was his father's psak. That even if the Bal Kori has in mind Kavanah shelo lahotzio, that doesn't pose a problem. The Mishnah has it, there's a takana with the Rabbana that the Goyim gets the first aliyah. There's a series of Mishnayos and Gittin starting from the third parak, I think. The third parak, the first Mishnah in the third parak has a takana with the Rabbana b'pnei tikkun ha'olam, and then the Mishnah has all kinds of the Mishnah begins with a takana in Hilchas Gittin. And then the Mishnah goes rambling on. Prusbel has nothing to do with Gittin and other takonis mepnei tikkun ha'olam. Erevin. So the Mishnah has the Kohen gets the first aliyah mepnei tikkun ha'olam. So the Gemara says tikkun ha'olam. Isn't it a din d'oraisa v'kidashto l'choldav shebigdusha l'vtarach rishon l'vrach rishon v'litul mani yafrishon? The Kohen gets the first aliyah is a din d'oraisa. So the Gemara says yeah, it's a din d'oraisa, but mid'oraisa the Kohen has a right to be moichel on his kovet. And with the Rabbana, they said, the Kohen, Mepnei Tikkun Ha'olam, we don't permit the Kohen to be Moichel on his Kavod. Why not? Because one week, it's a good friend of his who has a bar mitzvah, and he has a lot of guests. So the Kohen says, I'm Moichel on my Kavod, give the Kohen and the Levi the Moichel on my Kavod, give the Aliyah to the members of the family. The next week, the next month, is going to be a different family. He won't be Moichel on his Kavod, so he's going to cause friction. How come he was Moichel for them and he wasn't Moichel for us? So made a takana the rabban, the coin should never be moichel on his kavod. That's what it says in the Gemara. So then the Gemara says, but this is only on Shabbos and Yom Tov because there's a big crowd in shul. So if the one week is going to be moichel, one week is not going to be moichel, it's going to cause friction. So they made a takana should never be moichel. And Sheni b'chamishi is not such a big crowd of people in shul. So nishgefelach. So then we revert back to the real din deraisa that we permit the coin to be moichel on his kavod. Tosis writes on that Gemara. The days of the Balei Tosis, the Jewish communities were very tiny. There were a lot of pogroms then. The Crusaders killed a lot of Jews. They wiped out complete communities, but the whole community only had 10 or 11 people in the shul. The whole community, there was hardly anybody there. So Tosfos says, by us, they lived in tiny little villages. So Shabbos and weekdays are exactly the same thing. The same crowd showed up. It's not that on Shabbos it was more crowded than the weekdays, the shul was half empty. There was the same number of people on Shabbos and on the weekdays. So Tosfos says that Bizman is we wouldn't permit the kohen to be mochel on his kavod even on the weekdays as well. Rav Moshe Feinstein writes that today we went back to the Bizman HaGemara. Like in the days of the Gemara, that on Shabbos Yom Tov the shul is crowded and the weekdays the shul is half empty. So he says, since we went back to the practice of the days of the Gemara, so the din reverts back to the din in the days of the Gemara. So on a weekday we would permit the kohen to be mochel on his kavod. Not like Tosfos says that the Bizman HaZeh, in the days of the Bali HaTosfos, the kohen shouldn't be mochel on his kavod even on the weekday. Moshe says that today the din and the Gemara takes effect. Yeah.
Crowded, not crowded is relative. Some shows that are 120
even on weekdays.
So they have 300 on Shabbos. That makes the difference.
I don't know. If you have a big crowd on the weekdays, should be a problem on the weekdays also.
It means also going out. If I leave the show.
That's already a later minute, that whenever the kohen is mochel on his kavod, he should go out, so it shouldn't look as if he's nishkin kohen. No one should think that he's a cholom. So that was a later minute that was introduced. But Medina the Gemara just says he's mochel on his kavod, and that's it. He doesn't even have to go out. But the Gemara said, the Lashon, that the kohen gets the first aliyah, the Mishnah says that it's mepnei tikkun ha'olam, and the Gemara says, tikkun ha'olam, isn't it deraisu, v'kidashtoi, leftoch rishon, levarach rishon? Mar says, yeah, min HaTorah he gets the first aliyah, but it can be mochel on his kavod, it's only by the Rabban, he shouldn't be allowed to be mochel on his kavod. There is a Tosfos in Chulin on Daf Pei Ches, also, where the Gemara says that's in the middle of Per Kisei Adam. So if I shecht Chaya V'yof, if you shecht Behemoth, there's no din of Kisei Adam. If you shecht chickens, or you shecht Chaya V'yof, there's a mitzvah of Kisei Adam. So the first crack of Kisei Adam, whoever did the shechita, he has the schus, he has the right to perform the kisei adam. What if I shecht chai v'yoif, and another wise guy runs in and says, kisei adam, and he does the kisei adam. So he's yotze the mitzvah, but he stole the mitzvah from me. So the Gemara says, we penalize him and make him pay asara zehuvim. So Tosfos has a shayla, ma'aseh shoya. The gabbai called up a kohen. There was only one kohen in the shul. Gabbai called up the kohen. And a wise guy runs up, bichlal nishken kohen, nishken levi. Yisrael runs up and he says, Baruch Has Hashem on Baruch, and the people didn't know what hit them, and they answered, Baruch Hashem Baruch on Baruch. And he went weiter, and then the Balkari lane for him. So he stole the aliyah. There was only one coin in the shul, so not a shayla. Who did the aliyah belong to? The Gabbai called up the one and only coin in shul. He was supposed to get the aliyah. So Tosfos discusses whether he has to pay asar zehuvim to the coin from whom he stole the aliyah. So Tosfos thinks that the only time there's a penalty of asar zehuvim is when the person is entitled to the mitzvah min HaTorah, and it's a mitzvah min HaTorah. Tosfos thinks that the leftoach rishon, levarach rishon, the whole drasha is only an asmachta. So, but the Gemara says that it's deraisa. The Gemara says that the kohen getting the first aliyah is a din deraisa. So apparently, Tosfos understood when the Gemara says deraisa, it's not to be taken literally. That is deraisa. It means that there's an asmachta. It's an older takana de Rabbanon that even has an asmacht and a pasuk and a chumash, but it doesn't really mean that it's a din deraisa. There are other gemaras like that also, but the gemara said that something is a din deraisa, and we assume that it's not to be taken literally. It only means that it's an asmacht de Rabbanon based on a pasuk. The gemara has a din that after you call the first coin, you're not allowed to call another coin. Mishum pegam mishal rishon. If you call another coin after the first coin, people will think they must have just discovered that the first coin is a cholos, so they got to start all over again. So that's why they called another coin. You're not allowed to call Levi achalevi. They'll think that there was something wrong with the first Levi, so that's why they had to call another Levi. So there's a machlekes rishonim. What does this mean, coin achal coin? So most of the rishonim assume coin achal coin means he called Kohen, and then you call another Kohen right away. We in Machmeh and Shulchan Aruch, whenever it's not inconvenient, Kohen Achal Kohen means until the end of the Zayin Kruim. You shouldn't give a Kohen or a Levi another Aliyah till after the first seven Aliyahs are up, then you can make Kohen Sofis. If it's on Shabbos, you make Kohen Sofis, so then you can call another Kohen later on. The Mishnah Berurah says, if you have a Bar Mitzvah, you have an Oifruf, and they're all Kohanim, or they're all Leviim. And if you're going to wait till you make, after the Zayin Kruim, you're going to have to make a lot of Hisophas, and there won't be enough room for all these Hisophas. So then we make, you just call Kohen Levi Yisrael, and then you can call another Kohen for Revi. You don't have to wait till after the Zayin Kruim. The Chatchila, we machmer for that opinion, that Kohen HaKohen means up until the end of the Zayin Kruvim. But if you have a slight Shas of Chaka, Bar Mitzvah or something, so then we would be Mekel. Bizman, Bizman HaGemara, they used to lay in Haftaris from a klaf. And the Gemara has a din vorm shebichsavi atavasher liom and alpeh. Balpeh means if you're going to recite the Haftarah, not from a klaf. Even when you read from a printed Tanakh, you read from a printed Chumash, that's balpeh. Unless you have on a klaf, you have a sefer shalom, then it's not balpeh. The Magen Avraham in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah quotes from the Taz and Yeridaya. Magen Avraham every so often quotes from the Taz, he was after the Taz. He didn't have a Taz on Aruch Chaim. He never quotes a Taz on Aruch Chaim, but he had a Taz on Yeridaya. So he quotes the Taz, has a suggestion in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah based on a Taisus and Masechah Shabbos and Perikol Kisvei, that maybe all the dinim of Ksiva Sefer Torah only apply to Sefer Torah. Maybe they don't all apply to Nevi'im Ksuvim. So maybe if you have a Sefer Shalom that's printed on paper, maybe that also has a din of Mitoch HaKsav. That's a possibility. So that's why, based on that, Magen Avraham is quoting from the Taz and Yeridei Hilchos Sefer Torah. So that's why some people, when they get the Maftir, and there's no klav, so they'll be Mahada to lay in the Haftarah from our printed Tanakh where you have a Sefer Shalom. The Chazon Ish and Rav Soloveitchik thought that was a joke. They say, what do you mean? If you would have everything written on one side of the page, then there would be what to discuss. But it's written on two sides of the page and it's clipped together, it's sewn together. That's bechlal not. That's alochaladeis, that's not. Maybe you don't need klaf, but it's maybe paper is good, but it has to be a hemshach. There's no hemshach from one side to the other, to a different piece of paper with clips. So they thought that was a joke. But because the Taz wrote like that, Rav Soloveitchik was not such a big fan of the Taz. A lot of difficult comments the Taz makes. It's not at all like the Shach.
Sefer Shalom doesn't mean an actual Tanakh, you just need a Sefer Yirmiyahu or something.
Right. A Sefer Shalom of that Sefer, the Yirmiyahu, a Treyosa, whatever the Haftarah happens to be from. We have a Din Dvarim Shebichsav Yatav Asher Liyom and Alpeh. So what's going on over here? If you're not leaning from a klaf, so isn't it really Balpeh? So the Taisus and Yumen and Tumura and other Masich, the Taisus raise the question, how do we recite Ashrei Balpeh? How do we recite the Kriyashma Balpeh? Even if you're reading from a Siddur, it's also Balpeh. Anything less than a Sefer Shalom that's written on a klaf is considered Balpeh. So Taisus gives different answers. The Vilna Gaon and the Bi'ur HaGron Shulchan Aruch, as well as on the Hagos HaGron, the Gemara and Tumura, thinks that the Iker answer is what Taisus says, Adram Shebichsav Yatav Asher Liyom and Alpeh goes Lahotzi Acherim Edei Chayvosam, that the Bal Koyer who leans Kriyas HaTorah has to lean Mitoch HaKsav. If I'm saying Kriyashma for myself, I'm saying Pesukah D'Zimra for myself, there's no din of Dorm Shebichsav Yatav Asher Liyom and Alpeh. It's only if you want to be Motzi Acherim Edei Chayvosam. So what do you do when you have the Haftorah? The one who gets Maftah says the Haftorah is Motzi Acherim. So the Talmidei HaGro write based on what they understood from the Gro. They don't quote that the Gro said it, based on their understanding. So they say, when the one who got mapped the lanes from a klaf, so everyone should be quiet and listen to him and be yotze with his kriya from the klaf. When he's not reading from a klaf, then you should have another 9 people reading along, so you have 10 people saying the Haftorah. So if each person says the Haftorah for himself, he's not really motzi acher midei chayvosim with the kriya. If you don't have 9 people saying along, so then it's only acceptable if the one who got mafter is going to lain mitoch haksav. If he's going to lain from a klaf, then he can be moitzi acher midei chayvosam.
I thought we said that you're not trying to be moitzi other people when it comes to these kriyos, and it's just like Thomas ordered the rabbin, so why would you need to be...
You're not moitzi them with Shamea Ke'oina, but you're still moitzi them with the Talmud Torah Barabin. It's not based on Shemei Kohen.
There's a Yotze going on there. It's not just the fact there needs to be learning. Like, why does even the Sefer Torah need to be read?
That was a Takonis Moshe Rabbeinu. You have to have Mitoch HaKsav. You have to have not just to give a shir, not just 3 people should say the Divrei Torah every Monday and Thursday morning, but rather you should learn Mitoch HaKsav. So it's considered being Moitzi them. It's not being Moitzi based on Shemei Kohen, but still considered being Moitzi them. In the days of the Tanoim, it's clear from the Gemara that the one who got the Ali used to lay in his own parsha. Who's the one who introduced this institution of having a Bal Koire? So the Tosis says it's post-Talmudic, and the days of the Gemara didn't exist. We'll get to it a little later. Some of Balei Tosis say not so. But it's generally assumed it was introduced in the days of the Rishonim, and Tosis says it's based on the Mishnah in Bikurim, that the farmers used to come to the Beis HaMikdosh, and those who would be able to recite Arami Avid Avi would recite on their own. The Mishnah says they used to have Arami Avid Avi written on a tablet on the wall in Rosh Tevis. So it said, Aleph, 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 Arami Avid Avi, Vav, Mem, Vayerid Mitzrayim. So you have to remember how to figure out that Rosh Tevis. So not all the farmers were able to figure out the Aleph, Aleph, Aleph. Einom im Keller Chapayim. You got to know what it says there in the Rosh Tevis. So the Mishnah says, so whoever knew how to figure out Arami Avid Avi said on his own, whoever didn't know, so they had someone say it for him to be Moitzi him. So the Mishnah says, Nimnu Milahavi, the farmer stopped bringing the Bikurim. After travel 3 hours to get to Yerushalayim and stand on line and then be humiliated, that the first two guys rattled off on their own and I don't know how to say it and have to be Mavazami. So they stopped bringing Bikurim to the Beis HaMikdash. So they made a takana that they shouldn't allow anybody to say his own Arami Avid Avi. They makri everybody. So Tosus claims that that was the takana that was instituted. Nobody lays his own aliyah. Kedei shelo levayish es mi she'ein yodea. In Shulchan Aruch, the Beis Shmuel quotes such an opinion that really the Birchas Erisin should be recited by the Chassan. According to the Rambam, it's a Birchas HaMitzvah. He's getting married, so he should say the Birchas Erisin. But Kedei shelo levayish es mi she'ein yodea. Some will know how to, you give him a siddur with nekuda, some will botch it up, and some will know how to say it. So under his chuppah, he's going to be embarrassed in front of everybody. They're going to be laughing. So they made a minig that we don't never allow any chassan to say his own bracha. You always have a rabbi say the bracha for him. So Rav Soloveitchik claimed that that minig meant that the Bal Kori only lanes for himself the toicheche. The Ramos says the minig is you give the Bal Kori the toicheche. All year long, the Bal Kori never gets an aliyah. And whenever, let's say, a bar mitzvah boy is going to get an aliyah, you have to have someone else lane for the bar mitzvah boy. Not only should he not lane, let's say the bar mitzvah boy is going to get maftir and haftar, not only should he not lane the maftir, a bal kori lanes the whole sedra, and then the bar mitzvah boy gets up, he lanes the maftir. Even if he lanes the whole sedra, he shouldn't get the aliyah. You always have to have someone else lane for the one who got the aliyah. The Ramos says the only exception to the rule is the tech. That's what Rav Soloveitchik understood. That's usually not the practice. Very often in shuls, they do give the Bal Kori and Aliyah. He thought that's what it says in Shulchan Aruch. I have, 2 years ago, I have twin grandchildren who became Bar Mitzvah and Shabbos Bar Midbar. So they divided up the Kriyas HaTorah. So one laned four Aliyahs and one laned the other four Aliyahs. So we made up that each one is going to get an Aliyah when the brother lanes. No one's going to lane for himself, in order to satisfy Rav Soloveitchik's chumrah. The Gemara has a din that the last 8 psukim in the Sefer Torah have a special status. The Gemara in the first parak in Bava Basra has a machlokes satanaim. Who wrote the last 8 psukim? The 8th pasuk before the end says, Vayom Hashem Moshe Eved Hashem. How can it be that it's written by Moshe Rabbeinu? He describes his own death, his own funeral. But if he's dead, how can he be writing it? So one Tana says, obviously it was written by Yeshua ben Nun, and there is a pasuk in Sefer Yeshua that says Yeshua ben Nun wrote something. And the other Tana says, no. And the Rambam accepts that opinion. No, everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu. Either pasuk in Yeshua, he wrote something else. He wrote Sefer Yeshua. He didn't write in Sefer Torah. So it's a machlok zatanaim, who wrote the Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah. So the Gemara says the last Shmoneh Psukim Shabbat Torah, the last Aliyah, has a special halacha for Kriyas HaTorah purposes, that Yochid Kari Yosam. What does it mean, Yochid Kari Yosam? So the different interpretations in the Gemara. So one pshat is, you shouldn't make any hosafas there. You shouldn't break it up. One person should lane all the 8 Psukim together. Another opinion, and Tosis quotes, that's Rashi's pshat, Pasha pshat. You shouldn't make hosafas there. Tosis has another pshat. The institution that we have already existed in the days of the Gemara, they had a Bal Kori. So on the rest of Chamishu Chumshe Torah, the Bal Kori lanes out loud, and the Oyla La Torah says softly. And the Shmonim Psukim Shabbat Torah, you shouldn't have two people, the Balkori with the Oil Lator. Yochid Kari Osam, the one who gets the Aliyah should lay, because it has a special status. The Tosfos makes fun of that pshat. They think that the institution of Abakar didn't exist in the days of the Gemara. How can you interpret that the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, we don't permit them to rely on the Balkari institution? But in the days of the Gemara, there was no institution of Abakar. So Tosfos rejects that pshat. The Rambam has a unique, very unusual pshat in the Gemara. The Rambam says, Yochid Kari Osam, you don't need a minyan. Usually for Kriyas HaTorah, it's a Dovah Shebikdusha, you need a minyan. And Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, you don't need a minyan. It doesn't have a status of Dovah Shebikdusha. So if it was, the Gemara is, we understand the Gemara. If it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu, it was written by Yishuv Ben Nun. Okay, only what was given to Moshe Rabbeinu is considered a Dovah Shebikdusha. Whatever Yishuv Ben Nun wrote, Benavua, is not a Dovah Shebikdusha. But the Gemara said, but if you should assume the Rambam adopts that view, that everything was written by Moshe Rabbeinu, even his own obituary, so why does it have a special status that it's not a Dovah Shebikdusha? So the Rambam understood in the Gemara, Hoel v'yishtani, yishtani, it's still different. So the Rambam writes, what does it mean, it's still different? Holam ashmoan achamisas Moshe. So what does that mean? So the simple translation of the words in the Rambam sounds like, since the superficial reading of the Shmona Psukim gives you the mistaken impression that it was written after Moshe Rabbeinu died, even though it's not true, so it has a special status. So why? Just because you get the mistaken impression that it wasn't written by Moshe Rabbeinu, but if it was, so why should it have a lower din? Why should it have a lower level that's not a Dovah Shebikdusha? So that you thought maybe you have to translate the words in the Rambam differently. Holam Hashmo'on Achamisas Moshe doesn't mean, since the superficial impression that's conveyed is that it was written after Moshe Rabbeinu died, but rather, Holam Hashma'on means the Mashma is the meaningfulness. It wasn't true at the time that Moshe Rabbeinu wrote it. True was dictated word for word, letter for letter by HaKadosh Baruch Hu to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he wrote it, but since it hadn't yet taken place, he writes, Vayom Hashem Moshe Avir Hashem, and it didn't happen yet. So he wasn't the Kaddish, that part of the Sefer Torah, because it wasn't true yet. If you write a Nevuah al Shem Ha'osid, so Moshe Rabbeinu wrote Nevuah al Shem Ha'osid, what's going to happen? So that's fine when he wrote it in Kedusha Sefer Torah. But if he's writing history that didn't happen yet, he's writing L'sho'ova, L'oshanova, and it didn't happen yet, it wasn't yet true, so it wasn't yet Niskaddish. The Gemara says when Moshe Rabbeinu was writing this morning, Psukim Shabbat Torah, he was crying. So usually people say he was crying because he's writing about his own death. Rav Soloveitchik said, everybody knows everyone's going to die. So what is he crying about? 120 years old. What is there to cry about? So he said, no, he was crying that he wasn't able to be Mekadosh the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, because it wasn't true yet. That's why he was crying. With this Rambam, that the Rambam, the way he interpreted the Rambam, Holam Hashmona Achamisas Moshe, since the meaningfulness of the Psukim only became true after he died, so at the time he was writing it, he didn't have the ability to be Mekadosh it because it wasn't true, so that's why he was crying, because he wasn't able to be Mekadosh then. So the Rambam writes this Mechudosh Dikepshat, that it doesn't have, the Shmona Psukim don't have the status of a Dovah Shebikdusha, so you don't need a minyan. The Rabbi makes fun of the Rambam. How'd you get to the last Aliyah? You had a minyan to lay in the first four Aliyahs. And Simcha's Torah, laying V'zayis HaBracha. So where did the minyan go? The Rabbi asks, where did the minyan go? They all went to make Kiddush. Wait a minute, where did you go? Everybody knows they went to make Kiddush. So what's not? So if you started Kriyas HaTorah with a minyan, you can finish, even though there's no minyan, provided the rov of the minyan is there. Let's say you started with 10 people, and one or two left, so you have 9 or 8 left. But if you have 5 left, and you only have 5 people, you don't have 6 people there, then you can't finish. That halacha, if Hizchila Ba'asara Goymrim, is only if the rov HaMinyan is still there. So the Rambam writes, and the Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, you laid the first four aliyahs, let's say Simchas Torah. They gave the first four aliyahs. There were 10 people in the beginning. Maybe some people left in the middle, but you have a rov minyan. Then you get to the last aliyah, you don't even have a rov of the minyan. Everybody's drinking, everybody's making Kiddush. So the Rambam has this, Mechudosh Dikepshat and Nigmar. You can link Kriyas HaTorah on the last Shmona Psukim Shabbat Torah, the last Parsha, even though you don't even have the rov of the minyan there. The Ramon Shulchan Aruch quotes the fourth pshat on Yochid Kari Yosem from the Mordechai, and we usually medaktik on that. Yochid means Yochid Meyuchad. You give the kavod of being Chosen Torah to the biggest Talmud Chacham in the group. Yochid Kari Yosem, like the Gemara says, Es Hakeves Echa Tasav Abayka Hakeves HaMeyuchad. When you bring karbonis on the base of Migdash, you should bring Meyuchad. So here also, Yochid Koryasa means the Yochid Amiyuchid, the Talmud Chochem should get the first Aliyah that we call Chosin Torah. Do you require a kosher a Sefer Torah for the purpose of Kriyas HaTorah? So it's a stira between the Rambam and the Tshuva and the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah. The Rambam and the Tshuva writes that you don't need a kosher a Sefer Torah. You can learn Kriyas HaTorah Baal Peh. And he says that's the common practice all over in Spain. During the Second World War, the Jewish Welfare Board, JWB, was in control of all of the chaplaincies, and the JWB was controlled by the conservatives. So they were mefarshim of this psak. You can learn Kriyas HaTorah in the army base. You don't need a, you can learn from a printed chumash. You don't have to have a Sefer Torah. Rambam! Who do you need more than the Rambam? Rambam says so beferish. So the Kes Mishnah says we don't follow that Rambam in the Tshuva. We follow the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. And the Kes Mishnah quotes the Tshuva Sarashbo says that apparently the Rambam changes his mind. If the Tshuva was written earlier, that, and he writes that that was the common minig in Spain, that they would lay in Kriyas HaTorah Baal Peh, they would say Brachas Baal Peh. We don't follow that. We follow the Rambam in the Mishnah Torah. In the end of Hilchas Sefer Torah, the Rambam writes all the dinim. When is the Sefer Torah kosher? And then he says, if it's a kosher Sefer Torah, then you can lay in Kriyas HaTorah. Sefer Torah is not kosher, so you cannot lay in Kriyas HaTorah. So the Beis Yosef writes in Hilchas Kriyas HaTorah, if you already lay in the cup of Aliyahs, and then you realize there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah, so b'di'evid we rely on the Tshuvas HaRambam that you don't have to lay over what you already lay. But l'chatchila, if you know in advance that it's the puzzle of Sefer Torah, so you don't lay in Kriyas HaTorah, so you don't lay. You don't lay in Kriyas HaTorah. The Mishnah Brura quotes,
I mean, besides the kosher Sefer Torah, what
about
that?
I don't know. I don't know. The good Kash, maybe like he says, you're not being moitzi anybody, just we're all learning together. I don't know. It's a strange Tshuvas HaRambam. The Mishnah Berurah quotes Achrayim, who had a Chumrah, that if in the middle of Shlishi Revi they realize there's a mistake in the Sefer Torah, so they take out a new Sefer Torah. So, l'chatchila, if you can squeeze in seven aliyahs from here to the end, you should do that. You don't require you should start all over again from the beginning, but the Evid, we rely on the Tshuvas HaRambam that whatever you learn from the Pasul Sefer Torah is good. But l'chatchila, you should try to give seven aliyahs. I remember once here in the neighborhood, they found a mistake in the Sefer Torah in the middle of Parshas Hazinu. So the rabbi wasn't thinking, so he said, oh, Mishnah Berurah said, try to make seven aliyahs. So they made seven aliyahs from there to the end. Then in Mincha, the rabbi came, when we came for Mincha, the rabbi said in public, I made a mistake in the morning. He don't make oisofis in Hazinu. That's a din in the Gemara, Hazivloch. You're not allowed to make oisofis. You have to, the units of the poem are ruined if you're going to make oisofis. You have to lay in according to those units. Rav Soloveitchik said that lechatchila, if the Balabatim will not kill the rabbi, he should start again from the beginning of the whole parsha, when you take out the new Sefer Torah. If you have Balabatim, they're going to kill you, they're going to fire you, they're going to be upset. So you do what it says in Shulchan Aruch. So the Yevid, we rely on the Tshuvas HaRambam. But if the Balabatim are Bnei Torah, if they're not going to be antagonistic to the rabbi, he said more correct is to do what the Rambam, according to the din of the Rambam, and the Mishnah Torah should start all over again, the whole Kriyas HaTorah. The Gemara says, when you get an aliyah, you have to be paseach, you have to open up the Sefer Torah and see where you're going to lay from. And then you say the bracha. You shouldn't say the bracha before you open up and you see where you're going to lay. So the first Tana, the Gemara, the last daf in Megillah, the last Omer in Masechet Megillah is Machlegs HaMeir Reb Yudah. So the first Tana says there's a concern, Shema Yomru, the Tziba may think brachas ksuvas basefer. So Paseach V'Raya should open up the Sefer Torah and see where he's going to lean from. Then he's Goylal, he should close it, and then he should say the Bracha. When it's closed, and nobody will think that Bracha is Ksivis Bater. And the Gemara says, we don't Paskin like that. We Paskin Paseach V'Raya, and you leave it open and you say the Bracha. So Taisa says, means that you don't have to be Goylal, but if you're Goylal, it's better. It's certainly better. Or, that's how Taisa writes. Or, if you don't know about to be goylal, so you close your eyes. Or, the Rambam has a minig, you turn to the left, you turn to the side, so everyone will see. You leave the Sefer Torah open, and you turn to the side, so there's no chashash, people won't think that brachas ksuvas bater. The Rambam doesn't say like Tosfos, that l'chatchila it's better to close the Sefer Torah. the Rambam quotes the Gemara Kitzurasa Pasefer Raya, and he says the bracha with the Sefer Torah open. So some Achrayim understand in the Rambam. I think the Bach understands in the Rambam that more correct is not to close the Sefer Torah. Hashem Ayom Rebrachas Ksulas Batorah. So you close your eyes or you look to the side, whatever. Why should there be an insistence, Bedafkin, not to close the Sefer Torah? What's so bad about closing the Sefer Torah? So the Bach says it'll be an issue of over the over. The bracha should always be, Brichas HaMitzvah should always be recited, over Lasiyasam, but you shouldn't have over the over. There shouldn't be too far in advance. So if you close the Sefer Torah, then you're going to have to open it. So it's going to take more time. It'll be over the over. Rav Soloveitchik gave a different interpretation why it's over the over. He thought maybe it means more than that. Not just going to have to open it, it's going to take Shihu Izman. He thought maybe Psichas HaSefer is Mechayv in the Kriyas HaTorah. And when you close the Sefer, once you open up the Sefer Torah, you're muchayv to lein, you got to lein till the end. You got to keep on going, lein till the end, lein to call Yisrael. So when you close the Sefer Torah, that patters you, that's the no longer a chiv. So if you're going to be paseach v'roya, and then you're going to close it, so when you close it, there's no longer any chiv. So how can you say a bracha shebach abonu if there's no longer a chiv? That's over the yover. You're saying the bracha before there's even a chiv. That was how the way he suggested the pshat. So that's why he thought that when a person gets an aliyah, the oila latorah should open up the Sefer Torah. So usually they don't let you. Usually the baltori opens up the Sefer Torah. So he said his practice was when the baltori opens up, he closes it, and then he opens it again. So he does the mechayev on his assumption that psichas ha-sefer is mechayev. So he'll close it and then open it again, and the psichas ha-sefer is mechayev him because he did the psichas ha-sefer. So then he should say the brach. Taisis, the Rosh quotes there. Rabbeinu Tam always used to get shlishi. Every Shabbos he got shlishi. Even when his sister died, and one is an Avel Shiva, is also the Talmud Torah, he's not supposed to get an Aliyah, so he still took the Aliyah of shlishi, otherwise it would be Avel Beferes. Every single Shabbos he got shlishi. Yeah. If a person is an Avel Shiva, how does he stay for Kriyas HaTorah? If Avel is also the Talmud Torah? So the answer is that Seder Ayom is Mutta. The whole Issa Talmud Torah is only because B'kudi Hashem Sham Samchei Leiv. Learning is very exciting. Learning is exciting if you're learning something Gevaldik. Hearing Kriyas HaTorah, what's so exciting about that? So there's no Issa Talmud Torah on Seder Hayom. So what's wrong if you get the Aliyah? So why does it say you shouldn't get the Aliyah? Manavshav, what's going on here? So the answer is, Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that Ksav Sefer has such a tshuva. He explains also the same thing, that there are two chalokim to the Isser of Talmud Torah. One is Limud HaTorah Zosem Misam Chilev. And even if it's Seder Ayoyim and there's no Isser, but Lelamid Lacherim, that's another Isser, to teach Torah to others. So that's why in Tisha B'Av, true, you're allowed to learn Hilchos Avelos, but you're not allowed to give a shir in Hilchos Avelos, because Lelamid Lacherim, even if it's not Misameach, is an added Isser. So that's why the one who gets the Aliyah, is Mana Gemar, the one who got the Aliyah would be the Balkur, he would be the one who would be Melamid Lacherim. So that's why that should be Osir. So the Rabbi Netama was Avelus Berhesia. He got the Aliyah every Shabbos. Right. The Ovel, even if he's learning something that's Seder Ayayim, there's an added Issa Shalom Lamed Lacherim.
Even, but all over they do on Tisha B'Av and Shurim
So it says in Shulchan Aruch you shouldn't. So the Ksav Sefer has a whole Shuvah. He explains that's why. Ksav Sefer says this, that you're not allowed to, because Lamed Lacherim is a separate Issa. Mm-hmm. That's how Rav Soloveitchik thought. It's in Shulchan Aruch, the first Sif in Hilchos Kriyas HaTorah, that the Chosin in Shivas Me'amish, there's a Chiyuv to get an Aliyah. Why is it a Chiyuv to get an Aliyah? Because the Chosin has a Chiyuv Simcha, and Simcha means to eat, drink, and make merry, that Rambam calls Simcha Sakeris, that Simcha with my belly. How do you really do Simcha? The Sameach HaCherim. So how do you do Misameach HaCherim? Give Tzedakah to Aniyim. So the Rav said, another way to be Misameach HaCherim is to teach them Torah. So whoever gets the Aliyah is considered Malamed Torah LaCherim. Because Mikra Adin, the one who gets the Aliyah, is supposed to lane. So even though we don't have that practice, the Balkori lanes, but with Shamei Kain, it's considered as if the Oila LaTorah is laning. So it's considered as if the Oila LaTorah is teaching the other people.
It's better not to listen to Yishurim and Tisha B'Av.
To listen is mutter, that's not a problem, but to give the shir. On the one who teaches. Oh, the listener is mutter at Seder Ayayim. Okay, okay. Sometimes they have a video that was made before Tisha B'Av. So the rabbi who's speaking did his speaking before Tisha B'Av. The listeners are allowed to listen. That's not a problem.
There's certain things you're allowed to teach about it. Don't they usually give it on?
Yeah, they do. That's what the Ksav Sofer says. You're allowed to learn those, but the Lamed Lacherim is a separate issue. That you're not allowed to teach.
A person should get an aliyah when he's, he should take an aliyah.
And Avelis and Shiva, you shouldn't take that one.
The Rebbeinu Tom held that you were allowed to enter.
That's Avelis. On Shabbos.
On Shabbos.